And question focus, and that is, what is keeping you from living free in Jesus? Last week we talked about perhaps it is our guilt that keeps us from living free in Jesus. Tonight we're going to talk about stress and worry and how those aspects in our life can keep us from living the life that God has called us to live through His Son Jesus. This is a good place to be, to worship our Lord and Savior together, and to be encouraged once again in our journey through this life, to live the life that God has called us to live, and that is to live free in and through Jesus. I direct your attention to the invocation towards the bottom of page 3. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, God our Father, each day is a gift of your grace.
Your mercies are new every morning.
Guide our steps by the light of your word.
Shield us from harm and keep us from evil.
Please stand. We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to His will.
Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who led your people Israel with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Enlighten our darkness by the light of your Christ. May His word be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. For you are merciful and you love your whole creation. We, your creatures, glorify you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. We turn now to the passion history of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, focusing on His readiness to suffer and die. Now the feast of unleavened bread, called the Passover, was approaching. Jesus said to His disciples, "As you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12. Judas went to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. They were delighted and agreed to give him money.
Judas asked, "What are you willing to give me if I hand
him over to you?" They counted out for him 30 silver coins. He consented and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was present. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus sent two of His disciples, Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover."
"Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked.
He replied, "Go into the city. As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house. Where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there."
Just as Jesus had told them. So the disciples did as
In the evening, at the proper hour, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. A dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered to be greatest. Jesus said to them, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him,
"Lord, I'm going to wash my feet."
Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand."
"No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet."
Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me."
Then Lord Simon Peter replied, "Not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well."
Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine from now until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. I am not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen, but this is to fulfill the scripture." "I am telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am He. I tell you the truth. Whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me." Here ends our Passion reading. Lord, have mercy on us.
Amen.
Jesus.
Grace and peace are yours, thanks to God our Father and his love for us, clearly evident in the gift of his one and only Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. We hear these words from Matthew 26. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." This is God's word, we pray. Should your mercy send me sorrow, toil, and woe, or should pain attend me on my path below, grant that I may never fail your cross to view. Grant that we may ever cast our cares on you. Amen. If you could stand, I'd appreciate that, please. If your life has been completely free from stress and worry, you can remain standing. In other words, if your life has had any stress or any worry, you can be seated. Who of us can say that we haven't had to deal with stress and or worry in one form or another? And that's why it's beautiful that we can be here together tonight to encourage one another who face similar or sometimes the same factors that cause stress and worry in our life. Because stress and worry are nothing new, right? Ever since the fall into sin, stress and worry were right there. None of us are immune to it. But as our Lord reminds us throughout the scriptures, it doesn't have to control our life. It's there, it's evident, such things as stress and or worry. But again, it doesn't have to dominate and get the best of us. And why not? Not because of anything that we can do or have to do, but because of what Jesus was willing to do and has done for us. Because of him, as we're reminded of during our Lenten journey, all the way to the cross, and then sealed by the empty tomb, we know we have a place to go with our stress and worry. We know we have a way to endure stress and worry and to not have it defeat us, but rather to overcome it, even though it may be with us all the days of our earthly life. But we are guaranteed this. It's not going to follow you into heaven. That's why Paul can also say, the apostle by inspiration, our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the eternal glory that awaits us. Now you and I, we know these simple truths. And yet what do we still find ourselves doing? Getting all worked up. Getting all worried about this or that. Things that we cannot even control, but they can eat us up. The Lord knows that we're going to fall into these traps time and time again. I mean, Matthew 25, we recall the words. What does he so clearly tell us not to do? Do not worry. And then he gives an example of why we do not need to worry. Followed by the solution, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What a beautiful passage we need to keep in mind as we tend to make mountains out of molehills. I mean, how often has it happened in your life when you look back about something that really ate you up, you get all worked up and stressed and worried about that, and then that time passes and you look back and you're going, why did I allow my blood pressure to go sky high over that? There's a reason, too, why the Lord reminds us through the psalmist, cast all your care, your anxiety on him. And why? Because he cares for you. Is he going to give you and me more than we can endure? Is he up there in heaven thinking of ways of how to break us? No. Right? But how to help us endure and to strengthen us and to keep us focused all the way into eternal life. Again, also then through the Apostle Paul, by inspiration, do not be anxious about everything, but by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So then that begs a question. How are you doing with casting your care and anxiety to the Lord? How are you doing with not being anxious and with an attitude of thanksgiving, talking to God about what is on your plate and on your mind and on your heart that is leading you to get worked up and stressed, that is a source of worry in your life? Maybe it's your family. I mean, as a parent, do you ever stop being a parent? And so your children can cause worry in your life and stress all your days. Maybe it's, are you going to have enough to live on the rest of your earthly days? You thought you had enough. You thought you're prepared, and yet things out of your control happen? What is it that is causing you that stress and that worry in your life? But more importantly, what are you doing with it? Are you dwelling on it? Are you allowing it to eat you up? Or are you taking the Lord's solid advice and with an attitude of thanksgiving, thankful that you can take your care and your anxiety and your stress and your worries to the Lord and say, Lord, you know what I am going through. And you know for what purpose you are allowing or sending such in my life. Lord, you promised that you will be with me always. Lord, help me. Now, what do we also do after a prayer like that? Well, we get pretty good at picking it back up again. And so what does the Lord remind us again to do with that stress and that worry that we gave to him, but then we took it back? Cast it again. And be reminded again that we are not to be anxious about anything. I mean, why not? The answer is right before us. What did Jesus put himself in front of? So that we would not have to allow stress and worry to get the best of us and defeat us. He took upon himself our stress and our worry. He took it to the cross. But before he got there, he had a huge weight on him. Right? We know what that weight was. The weight of our sins upon him. What he came here to do was a daunting task that no one else would be up for. And he knew, as God, what the outcome would be. And yet as man, Father, if there's another way to bring about salvation than what I have to face, bring it on. But then key words follow that. Not my will, Father, but your will be done. Jesus knew that there was no other way. It had to be this way. In order for us to be free from stress and worry, not so much on this side of heaven, but for all eternity. And yet, while we're here on this side of heaven, to give us a way to deal with stress and worry so it doesn't consume us and cause us to lose what He has won for us by His death on the cross and sealed by the empty tomb. Who do you know that is dealing with stress and worry and it's eating them up? How have you tried to encourage them in those moments that they're sharing with you their legitimate even causes for stress and worry in their life? Do you dismiss it, or do you acknowledge that we see that this is causing you real angst? And then encourage them with the words of Scripture. Encouraging them to take their stress and their worry and their anxiety to the one who has the ability to help them through it. Do you take their cares and concerns to your pillow in prayer? Maybe your words will not resonate with them, but Lord, help someone have words that will resonate with them. Direct them to the cross, where even though they're still going to go through stress and worry, they know about your love for them through all of that. Because God clearly demonstrates His love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That doesn't change no matter what our stress and worry is in this life. And so take heart, dear friends. You're not alone in enduring things that will cause us to get all worked up and to be worried about this or that. But also, never forget what the Lord encourages us to do with such, to take it to Him in prayer and to not dwell on it. And replace it, rather, with the peace that only He can give. A peace that transcends all understanding. So even though there is stress and worry on the outside, there is calm on the inside. A calm that is possible because our Lord and Savior was willing to not have His will be done, but the will of His Father. And die the death that needed to be died for us. So that we could be free and live free in Jesus now and into eternity. So what does living free in Jesus look like? It looks like living free from guilt, and it looks like living free from stress and worry. Perfectly on this side of heaven? No, but we have one who is perfect, who helps us endure on this side of heaven so that we can be free from stress and worry forever in heaven. That's living free in Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, who has set us free. Amen. We turn to the prayer of the church. Holy and righteous God, we come before you in deep humility. We confess that we are sinners both by the nature we inherit and by the sinful thoughts and desires, words and actions that nature produces. Because of our sins, we deserve only your wrath and punishment. Yet you reveal yourself not only as a God of holiness and justice, but as a God of mercy and love. despairing of our own merits and worthiness, and in response to your gracious invitation, we come pleading for your forgiveness.
Lord, have mercy on us for your holy name's sake.
You have revealed your love and mercy for us sinners in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. You sent him into our world to be the atoning sacrifice for the sins of all people. Help us grasp by faith the great truth that the pain and suffering, the mockery and ridicule, and the death and punishment he endured should have been ours. Help us understand that in incomprehensible love, he suffered and died for us.
Lord, have mercy on us for Jesus' sake.
In silent meditation, let us reflect on our sins, praise our Savior for the forgiveness he has won for us, and ask for God's continued grace to remove any doubt that we are forgiven. God of grace and mercy, may your Spirit continue to be with us as we follow the way of the cross. As we contemplate the story of our Savior's passion, build us up in our faith. Renew in us the zeal to serve you by reflecting your love in our lives. Give us the desire and the ability to boldly proclaim the grace in which we stand, so that all for whom you lived and died may join in fellowship now and in your presence forever.
We offer our humble thanks and praise, our prayers and petitions, and ourselves in body and spirit to you, Lord our God. Hear us according to your promise, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
And we also pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Lord God, all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works come from you. Give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments. Defend us also from the fear of our enemies, that we may live in peace and quietness through the merits of Jesus Christ our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Blessings on the rest of your evening and week as you continue to take your stress and worry to the Lord in prayer. Just a reminder that Wednesday, Lord willing, the California Lutheran High School will be here and leading our midweek service and helping us keep the focus on our Savior as we journey with Him to the cross. And so supper will be at 5:30. The choir will be here joining us for supper. And the Board of Elders have graciously volunteered to be the ones who will feed us that evening. And then we'll worship here at 6:30. And then the choir is staying overnight. So thank you to the hosts who are willing to take those students into their home and bring them back the next day, as they will then have chapel with our own students here at St. Mark's. So we pray that the CLH students will have safe travels. And may you as well. Thank you.